I quoted to you John 3:16, the reference before it and after it, and I'm through in 10 seconds. Now, that's a longer verse than most people memorize when they first start. Like Jesus wept, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, you know, some of those shorties. And now I'm through in 10 seconds. So when you memorize verses, I'm not talking about you've got to drop out of school, you can no longer work, and that's that thing. I'm talking about using time that you normally waste. I found my last year in college, and I don't necessarily recommend that, but I found that I could memorize a verse a day and review 74. I did that every day for 8 months, and I was averaging taking 20 hours a semester in school and had a lab 4 afternoons a week, was BSU president. I had plenty to do. But I found that I could use time that other people wasted. I'm down in New Zealand one day, and this missionary hands me his verse pack. And he said, Max, there are 50 verses in this pack. I will quote all 50 of them to you. I'll be through in 10 minutes. And I'll give you a devotional on two of them. I'll still be through in 10 minutes. You can time me if you want to, and I wanted to. And 9 minutes and 53 seconds later, he had quoted to me 50 verses saying the reference before them and after them and giving me a little devotional on two of them. So I'm talking about your using time that you normally waste. I mean, I can stop at a red light and review 3 or 4 verses. You go into a doctor's office or someplace. I found that in college, in the morning, I could write up my verse I was going to memorize, and I could walk to the dining hall reviewing my verse. And I could get to class early, and I could go over my verse. And I could pull it out, and by doing this, having these with me all the time, I can use time that you would normally waste. Use little odd moments. Now, when you memorize a verse, here's what you want to do. When you memorize a verse, I'm going to give you some cards in a little bit, and we'll get you started, show you how to do this. I put it on little cards, and one of the reasons I like the little card system, when you go to campus, you don't want to walk around like this. There goes Susie with her verses. See, I can stand in the cafeteria line, I can hide these in my hand, and I can review verses. Now, not that I'm ashamed of it, but always, if you want to be successful, I've never seen anyone yet that's really been successful in memorizing key passages of scriptures that doesn't use a little card system. Sometimes people say, well, what about memorizing chapters, long passages of scripture? And some people may do that, like they may want to memorize the book of Hebrews. I think it would take me from now till Jesus comes to memorize the book of Hebrews. And I find that the person's problem is not the 6th chapter of Romans. The problem is pride, or the problem is lust, or the problem is money, or whatever. So memorize key verses about different topics so that the Holy Spirit can bring them to your mind when you need them. See, for example, I travel some, and sometime I'm in an airport, I'm walking along, and here's a magazine rack, and here's some guy over in the corner looking at a Playboy magazine. And he thinks, well, I'm away, nobody sees me. You know what his problem is? He is not aware that the ever-seeing eye of God is watching him at all times. So see, I memorized some verses about that, like Hebrews 4:13. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so I'm aware, it doesn't make any difference where I am in the world, there's certain things I don't do. See, John 3:19 says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And sometimes people will do in the dark what they wouldn't do. I mean, when does many of the murders and the thefts and things take place? They take place at night because people think, well, nobody will see them. Well, the problem is they're not aware. They do not have awareness in their mind that God is always watching. So I memorized some verses on that. Psalms 139:12. Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as a day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. So I'm always aware that God sees. Doesn't make any difference where you're in the dark or the light. God sees. And then Psalms 94:9. He who formed the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? And memorizing verses like that help me to always be aware that it doesn't make any difference where I am. I don't want ever to do anything and think I'm going to get by with it. See, the greatest accountability you can have is memorizing verses about the ever-seeing eye of God. And we talk about accountability, you know, holding each other accountable. That's fine. We need some of that. But let me tell you, the greatest accountability there is for you to memorize some verses and realize that God always sees everything you do. That's going to keep you from sin more than anything that I know of. Once you memorize a verse, like once I select a verse to memorize, some people say, well, where do you get your verses? Well, I'm going to give you some to start with, and I'd recommend that you go through this little course, and I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to give you a copy of it, and we'll get started. But then once you finish that, where do you get your verses? I don't have a problem finding verses to memorize because I read the Bible. And I'm always, I mean, already, the beginning of this year, I've already found two that I want to memorize, and this is, I mean, what's today? This third? Today's the third day, and I've already found two that I'd sure like to get. So I find them as I read the Bible. I go to church. Maybe my pastor mentions it. Someone else shares with. I was talking to a guy over the phone the other day, and I told him, I said, Waylon, in 1958, when I was a junior in college, I remember sitting around at Ridgecrest, North Carolina, at a place like this, and you shared two verses with me. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And he shared Isaiah 48:18. And I remember those two verses, and I memorized them, and I remember where I got them. A guy shared those with me in 1958. So I get verses. I'm talking with someone. I was in a class some time ago with Neil Walker, and he shared Deuteronomy 13:4, and I thought, man, I've read the Bible, I don't remember that verse. And it says, you shall follow me and fear me. You shall keep my commandments, listen to my voice, serve me, and cling to me. And I thought, man, isn't that great? Follow the Lord, fear Him. That is, have a tremendous reverence for God. Keep His commandments, listen to His voice, serve Him, cling to Him. And I thought, that's a great verse. And as a result, you'll find verses as you read your Bible. You're going to find a lot of verses that you want to memorize. Now, sometimes you may want to memorize a passage. Like, for example, I memorized Luke 16:19-31. Sometimes, you know, like today, you heard a message on the Lord's Prayer. You might want to memorize that. You know, I memorized Psalm 23, but the reason I don't memorize whole chapters, if I'd memorized 30 chapters, I'd have to review a chapter every day to keep them. Because eventually, if you memorize a verse, you need to review it at least once a month. Now, when you first start memorizing a verse, what you want to do is you want to write on one side of your card, like for example, let's suppose this is my verse card. Because it's a little bigger and you can see it, okay? I'm going to write the verse up here, and I'd put 2010 here, okay? Because that's the year. The day I start, and we're going to start for tomorrow, because it's always good to start if you're doing it a week. Tomorrow, we'd put here, January the 4th. And I'd put a date over here 2 months later, March 4th. Now, that means I'm going to try to review that verse every day for 2 months. I'm going to try not to miss a day. But ever since the fall of man, nothing's perfect. Have you ever noticed that? Your life's not going to be perfect. Your scripture memory's going to be perfect. Someday you're going to leave your verse pack in your buddy's car and he goes home for the weekend so you don't have it. You know, I don't know how many times my verse pack's been washed. You know, I left it in my pants and it got washed. You know, good, sanctified, clean verses. All right? So occasionally you'll miss a day. That's okay. We're not talking about perfection because you're never going to reach it on this earth. There have been times I've struggled. I'm introducing you to something today that's going to be a fight for the rest of your life. And there are times that I've not done well in my review, in my memory. And so you quit in time, but you start over. Now, what you want to try to do, though, is to build a habit. Now, you know the best way to build a habit, and I'd encourage you to write this down. I'm going to give you four things. The best way to build a habit. And you know, a habit can be one of your best friends, because a habit means you do it kind of automatically. And this is a discipline, and you want to learn to do it automatically. Like you probably automatically eat every day, right? Nobody has to remind you, you got to eat today, see? You probably automatically go to bed on occasions. You know, at least you sleep some, okay? Because it's a habit. So we're going to try to build this habit of Scripture memory. Now, when you want to build a habit, four things are important. Number one is start. You're never going to build a habit till you start. Number two, start now. Don't wait 3 weeks, but start. Start now. Number three, start enthusiastically. In other words, I'm going to get after it. You know, now's the time to start. Put your heart into it. Get with it. And number four, make no exceptions. Make no exceptions. In other words, I'm not going to say, well, I don't think I'll do it today. I don't feel like it. Well, it doesn't make any difference whether you feel like it or not. You're going to find when you get out in the world and you have a family, you get up and go to work. Well, I don't feel like going to work. Well, you go to work anyway, and I mean, unless you're really sick. Do you only go to class when you feel like it? Boy, if you did, you'd all flunk, right? There's certain things you do, and let me tell you, you're not going to walk with God unless you get some discipline in your life. The word disciple comes from the root word of being a learner or being disciplined. We're trying to build a discipline in our life. Let me ask you this. If I shared with you how you can memorize a verse, and once you memorize it, once I memorize a verse and I can say the reference before it and after it, and you can use whatever translation you use. Like when I was in college, there wasn't an NIV. There wasn't a New American Standard. There wasn't a Living Bible. There wasn't a New England. Nearly everybody used the King James. So I memorized verses out of the King James. Well, later, I started using, when I came to Oklahoma University, nearly everybody was using the Revised Standard. I used that a little bit. Never did like it a lot. And then I changed to the New American Standard, and that's what I use, because I think it's the best translation in existence. But you might use an NIV. I don't care what translation you use, it'll change your life if you'll use it. Like, for example, if I'm memorizing John 3:16, and let's say you use the NIV, the New International Version. I'd put John 3:16 at the top of the card, and then I'd put NIV. Now, when I'm quoting the verse, I don't stand and say, this is an NIV. But you will know what translation it is. Like, for example, the verses that I memorized out of King James, I'm not going to go back and re-memorize them in another translation. And I know a man who used to stand and speak, Gene Warr, he'd read through the Bible every year in a different translation. I've heard him speak messages in which he probably quoted from 12 or 15 different translations in one message. So once you memorize a verse in one translation, you don't go memorize it in another. And so this way, I keep the verses I know in King James, the new ones, and I have a few in other translations. So I signify that on the card. But once I memorize that verse, and once you can quote it word perfectly, that day, say it another 35 times. There's no magic word about 35. I don't care if you say it 50. You can't go over it too much. Go over and over and over it and over it and over it. That's the only way you're going to get deep ruts in your mind. So that day, go over and over and over. The next day you wake up, you won't even remember where it is, much less what it said probably. Go over it several times. Like, I can give you a verse, a short verse, and you can read it over three or four times, and many of you could quote it word perfectly, but you don't really know that verse. And you won't know it until you go over and over it. Now, once you want to get it down and try to read it in context. For example, the first day of the month, I review the verses in Genesis that I know. Once I memorize them, I put them in a little box, Genesis through Revelation. And I've got them divided into sections for each day of the month. Now, when you first start, you're going to start with this verse on January the 4th, tomorrow. We'll get it written up today. You can start on it. You can start on it today. A day early won't hurt you. You're going to review that verse every day till March the 4th. You're going to know that verse very well. On March the 4th, you take that old verse out and you put in a new one. And you put on that verse, March 4th, that'd be the day you'd start, March, April, May, and you'd be through with that and on May 4th. Every week, after 8 weeks, you're going to take an old verse out and put in a new one. Next week, old verse out, put in a new one. You always have 8 verses. Now, I quoted John 3:16 to you in 10 seconds. So you're going to have 8 verses to review every day. You can do that in 2 or 3 minutes. Okay? So you're not going to drop out of school. You're not going to flunk out. Fact is, I heard this. It was true in my life. I've heard many college students say, once I began to consistently use my mind every day to work on memory, my grades increased. They made better grades because you'll remember phone numbers faster. Guys, you'll remember girls' names better. All these things, if you begin to discipline your mind. Let me ask you this. Any math majors here? Okay. You can answer this question maybe. If you memorize 1 verse a week, how many would you know at the end of a year? 52. Why? 52 weeks in a year, right? You didn't even have to be a math major to know that one. You could start today, and if 1 year from now, you would know 52 verses. And I mean, you would know them. I have led Bible studies where I hand a student the Bible, even in the same translation, ask him to read it, and he makes a Bible, and I know it, and I can quote it better than he can read it. Why? Because you get deep ruts in your mind by going over and over it. Now, some people say, well, you know, I just kind of get the general essence of it. Well, wait till you get 100 verses, and you don't know what God said, and you don't know what you said, see? So the way to do it is go over and over and over those verses. Let me ask you another question. If you memorize a verse a week, how many would you know 10 years from now? 520. Now, can I ask you, how old are you today? You're what? You're 20. By the time you're 30, you could know 520 verses. And see, you can mention, like for example, I could say, okay, let's spend some time in prayer. You get Jeremiah 33:3. You get Isaiah 65:24. You get Matthew 7:7-11. You get Colossians 4:12. You get Colossians 1:9-11. You get Ephesians 1:9-11. You get Ephesians 3:14-20. And if we had time, and I had time to think about it a little, I could give probably every one of you a verse on prayer. Or close to it. If I were a medical doctor, I would be, in essence, as a Christian, you'd be a general practitioner. You know a little bit, a lot of things. Like, for example, I'm never going to know all there is to know about apologetics or creationism or whatever. But I find when I go out on the campus, when I get out in life with people, I never know what question they're going to ask. I don't know what they're going to face. And so I want to know a little bit about many, many topics. Maybe I'm meeting with this guy and he's got a problem with his finances. Well, I memorized some verses along that line. And I think through, how can I help him in that area? I've learned some verses on pride. I've learned verses on lust. And so you try to get these things in your mind. And as you get out in life, you've got a tremendous resource with which you can help people. I don't know how many times people have come. Maybe I've been visiting with a student. He has a certain question or certain problem. And I say, well, here's something over here that might really help. And share something with him from the Word of God. And him say, you know, that's exactly what I needed. If you got as many as 520 verses and you never want to memorize another one the rest of your life, you're still going to be pretty well equipped. But you're going to find that all along through life, and somebody says, now, do you memorize one a week? Do you memorize how many a week? Now I memorize verses as God speaks to me. Sometimes I may get 4 or 5 within a period of a month. Sometimes I may go a while because I've got so much to review. And some of them are not as sharp as they need to be. You start memorizing this verse, January 4th, March the 4th, you're through with it. You lay it aside. A week later, you'll lay another one aside. Now, these are verses that you've already worked on for 2 months. Then you pick them up and zip through them. But then the day comes, this little stack gets quite a bit over here. Let's suppose the day you get 28 verses over here that are to the side. Well, make you a little tab. And what I'd do is get you a little check box, you know, that your dad gets his checks in, or Tom's box or something like that to put them in. And I make a little tab. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the days of the week. And I put 4 verses behind Sunday, 4 Monday, 4 Tuesday. I've got my 8 new verses I'm going to review every day. And it's Sunday, I pick out these 4, and I get through those old verses once a week. Okay, then the day comes, oh man, I got 140 verses over here. I got 150 verses over here. And see, I'm still putting them behind, and that's a little much maybe for me to review in a week. So now I'm going to review them every 2 weeks. So I make me a little tab, and I put on there 1 through 15, and I go through those verses. And I put on that card, 1 through 15, 2 through 16. I got 150 verses. I put 10 behind the first day, second day, third day. And then I start again on the 16th, and I go through them again. I only reviewed. Now I got 150 verses, and I'm only reviewing 10 a day. Now then the day comes, like a friend of mine told me one day, and he had one of the greatest ministries of any layman I've ever known. He was a layman. He said, Max, I review 900 verses a month. I review 30 verses while I'm shaving with my electric razor. And see, this way the day comes and you have a tab 1 through 30. And you got 900 verses. I mean, if you wanted to have that memory. Now we're going to, let's say you got that 520. That's what we'd shoot for in 10 years. Well, how many would, you can divide 30 into 520, and you would have less than 20 verses a day to review. And that'd just take you a few minutes. If you really, really knew them well, you can do about 5 a minute. So in 5 minutes, you could be through. Does that make sense? Let me share another thing with you. Once I review them, and you can do this also by topics. Like if I mention verses on prayer, I think of verses that come up on prayer. See, I got a little filing cabinet in my brain. And here are verses on prayer. Here are verses on witnessing. Here are verses on helping people to grow. Or you can do it Genesis through Revelation. I have here, like on the first day of the year, I review Genesis 1:1 through Deuteronomy 34:10. Okay? You can have my verses. Now, I'm going to quote these verses to you. Now, I didn't work on this morning. I mean, I'd just gone through them enough. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, I will make him. It is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:24. Genesis 2:25, they were both naked. The man and his wife were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25. Genesis 5:24, now I'm not going to quote the rest of those. I don't want to bore you. Genesis 5:24, 9:6, 17:1, 19:27, 22:1-2, 22:10-12, 26:20, Genesis 39:9-12, Genesis 39:23, Genesis 39:41, Genesis 41:51-52, Genesis 48:7, Genesis 50:19-20. Now, I'm going to back up and I want to show you something. When I was in college one day, I memorized Genesis 39:9-12 because this was a story of Joseph's temptation. You remember when Potiphar's wife came to him and said, my husband's gone, come go to bed with me. In Genesis 39:9-12, this is what Joseph said to Potiphar's wife. He said, there's none greater in this house than I am. In other words, he was a trusted servant. There's none greater in this house than I am. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went in the house to do his business. There were none of the men in the house. And she came to him and said, lie with me. And it says he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. She just came and grabbed hold of it. And I mean, he just took off. And she still had his cloak. her husband came home, and you remember the story. She said, hey, this servant of yours tried to rape me. So he was very angry, had him thrown in prison. But then, Genesis 39:23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. See, I didn't need to memorize from Genesis verse 12 to verse 23. I know the context. I know what happened before it, and I can tell the story. And then he's in prison, and he becomes a trustee. And while he's there, there are two guys, and they have dreams, and they can't interpret them. And Joseph interpreted the dream. He said, one of you, in 3 days, you're going to have your head cut off. The other one, in 3 days, you're going to be restored as a king's cupbearer. You know what happened? Exactly what he said. And Joseph said to the guy who's going to live, when you get out of prison, you remember me. Well, 2 years later, the king had a dream he couldn't interpret. And the guy said, oh, yeah, I remember when I was in prison as a guy. And by the way, let me pause right here. You're not going to get through life but what some wrongs are going to be done to you. How are you going to take that? I mean, here was Joseph. His brothers, first of all, threw him in a pit. And then along comes a caravan, and they sold him into slavery to go into another country. Here he is, a servant, away from home, away from his folks, probably a different language. And then he's a servant, and this lady lies about him, and he's thrown in prison. And even after he tells that guy what's going to happen, he said, remember, 2 years later. I mean, he forgot him for 2 years, he's in prison. And then he said to the king, hey, when I was in prison, I met a guy who can interpret dreams. And so they brought Joseph out. And Joseph said, now here is a dream. The guy had two dreams. I won't go into the details. But he said, you know the reason you had two dreams? It's the same dream, and God is telling you what's going to happen is going to happen starting immediately. You're going to have 7 years of plenty, and you're going to have 7 years of drought. So, king, what you ought to do during this 7 years of plenty is you ought to store up food so that during the 7 years of drought, you'll have something to eat. And he said, you ought to put somebody in charge of that. Now, Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? I mean, he said we ought to put somebody in charge. This guy's got the Spirit of God. Let's put him in charge. So he did. You remember then how his brothers came when they didn't have food and they came into the land and he played around with them. They didn't know who he was. And then eventually he sent for his father. And in Genesis 48:7, Jacob said, and I, Jacob, when I came from Padan, my wife Rachel died to my sorrow on the journey. He said, I buried her there and on the journey. And he said, you know, she had died much to my sorrow. And he said, then, but there was still some distance to go to Padan. I didn't know why one morning I was impressed to memorize that verse. But one morning I was, and after I'd just memorized it, one of the guys on our staff had a wife and 3 little kids. And a man was on the wrong side of the interstate and hit him head on and killed him. And I was later able to share with his wife and kids, just like Jacob. He said, I was on my way to Padan and my wife Rachel died to my sorrow and I buried her there. But there was still some distance to go. And as long as you're still alive, there's still some distance for you to go. God has something in mind for you. That man's widow was here last night helping us get ready for this conference. And let me tell you, God will impress verses on you to memorize. And that's why I said I wouldn't take $1 million. One day in college, I memorized Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And I just thought, that's a great verse. I'll memorize it. Then one day I'm in seminary. My professor, evangelism professor, asked me if I'll drive with him from Fort Worth to Louisiana. And we're going to drive on Saturday. And I really wanted to do that because I wanted to get some time with him. And he asked me to go with him. And he was going to preach on Sunday morning and then fly to the Southern Baptist Convention. And he said, you stay and preach on Sunday night and then drive my car back to Fort Worth on Monday, because at that time we didn't have class on Monday. I said, I'll do it. I was all excited. And then I see one of my buddies that week. And he said, Max, we're sure looking forward to your speaking in Wichita Falls, Texas on Saturday night. I said, no, that's Friday night. He said, no, it's Saturday night. I said, no, I'm going to be in Louisiana on Saturday night. He said, Max, it's on Saturday night. I know. I'm on the committee that invited you. I know when it is. And I'd made a mistake. And I thought, oh, God, how am I going to get out of this? I'm supposed to be two places, two different states on the same night. And all of a sudden, that verse just popped into my mind. Call upon me in a day of trouble. And I thought, God, this is a day of trouble. My professor's not going to like this. How's he going to get his car back from Louisiana? And I thought, God, this is a day of trouble. You said, call upon me and I will deliver you. And you will glorify me. So I was talking to my buddy and he said, well, Max, which one of these invitations did you take first? I said, Wichita Falls. He said, that's where I think you ought to be. And I said, I do too. I'll be there. So now I pray. I think about that verse and I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. But I don't have to figure that out. You just said, call upon you in a day of trouble. Now this is a day of trouble. You would deliver me and bring glory to yourself. So I go to my professor and I say, sir, I can't go with you to Louisiana. He said, why? And I told him what the deal was. And he started laughing. And he laughed. And he just kept laughing. And I thought, I didn't understand. He said, Max, you know, I am so tired. I am absolutely worn out. And I was talking to that pastor this week. And I told him that you were going to be coming with me. And I said, I'm bringing a student with me. We'll drive over. He said, what in the world are you doing driving over here? Our church will pay for you to get on an airplane. Don't you drive over here. You fly over here. He said, Max, I've been trying to think all week how I could tell you. I don't want you to go with me. Now, what I'm telling you, as you begin to memorize verses, God is going to use those in your life. And what you're doing is you're getting the Word of God in your heart, in your mind, so that at any time the Holy Spirit wants to use it in your life, or wants to use it in anyone's life around you, he's got it. And he can use it. Now, what I'm going to do, I want you to take a card. Fact is, I want you to take three cards. So just pass these around. We'll get them started in several places. Take about three cards apiece and just scatter them around the table. And if everybody will get three, thank you. If everybody will get three cards, I want to show you how to write it up. Now, what I'm going to give you before you leave is a little memory course we've developed. And it's called Glorify the Lord. David mentioned everything we do ought to be for that reason. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, where you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay? So that would be the verse. Now, that's what you call an acrostic. See, this way is glorify the Lord. But it goes down this way. And see, for example, one day I sat down, and I could do this with, no, we won't pass them out yet. One day I'm sitting down with David, and I want to get him memorizing verses. See, I can have lunch with somebody and write this on a napkin. Glorify the Lord. And see, each word stands for something. First one is glorify the Lord. L is for love. O is for obedience, rejoice, intercession. And it's an acrostic. Everybody get a copy. Now you see the idea here, glorify the Lord, and it spells out glorify the Lord down this way. It's very easy to remember. And once you do this, you can have this in your mind for the rest of your life, and anytime you want to get people started memorizing verses, you can do it. Here's what I want you to do with your card. Yeah, there's some pens back there. Great. Due to the fact that it's hard for you to see on a small card, I'm going to let this be my verse card, okay? And what I'm going to do, in the center of this card, and on one side of your card, right at the top, try to center it as best you can, glorify the Lord. Just write that across the top of one of your cards. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't write very small. Well, learn, okay? I've got Psalm 23 on one little card. Okay? Write glorify the Lord across the top. You got that? in the center, right under that, put 1 Corinthians 1, that's C-O-R, is an abbreviation, 1 C-O-R, 10, 31. And then put NIV out at the end of it. You got that? So we got glorify the Lord, 1 Corinthians 10:31, NIV or NAS or whatever. Now, at the bottom of your card, right in the center, 2010. That's the year. Okay? In the left-hand corner, put JAN, January 4. January 4. And the right corner, put March 4. Because that's 2 months. Now, I know some months have different, you know, February doesn't have any months, May or whatever. That doesn't make any difference. Whatever that number is on the left, put the same number on the right. A day or two won't make that much difference. Okay? Now, look at this. Here's my card. Flip it over. And on the other side, take your Bible and copy that verse word perfectly. Make sure you get it exactly like it is in the Bible. Anybody doesn't have a Bible? Everybody got your, what you need? Take a moment to do that. And write it word perfectly out of your translation. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And copy it on that card. Write as best you can. Because you're going to have this for a long time. Now, if you've finished it, we'll give a few minutes for everybody. Start working on it. And here's the way you work on it. Say, glorify the Lord, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And then you may take it phrase by phrase. Whatever yours says, King James says, whether therefore you eat or drink. So I'd go over and over it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. You don't have to say glorify the Lord every time. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians, and then where you eat or drink. Or whatsoever you do, you can pick up another phrase. Go over and over and over it. Say the reference before it and after it. So start working on that just silently, okay? And we'll give everybody a few minutes just to make sure they got it written up. Read it over and over and over. You'll think sometimes, I've gone over a verse and I think, I will never get this verse down. But you go over and over and over it. Okay, work on it because we're going to see how many of you can quote it in a little bit. Anybody that does not yet have it written up? Everybody got it written up? Okay, anybody want to attempt to say that verse? Okay.
1 Corinthians 10:31, so we eat or drink or whatever you do, offer the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Great. Good. Anybody else? Okay? Now, isn't it great to know that whatever you do, studying, isn't that strange? Whatever you do, you can do it for the glory of God. Eat, drink, whatever you do, you commit your life to the Lord, you let the Lord live in you, and whatever you do, watch a ball game, anything, whatever you do, you can do it to the glory of God. Because the desire of your life is to glorify Him. Okay? Now, let me suggest this. In the bookstore are little verse packs. Now, I would suggest that if you have to miss a meal, these, even to do this, this is 75 cents, okay? Put your little cards in them. It's got a little window here. You can put the card that you're memorizing, your new verse, in here if you want to. I usually have, and I don't have this with me here, but I like the ones that have two little outside windows because I have my you sure want to have on one card, you want to write your name, phone number, email, everything in case you lose it, okay? One of the things I would suggest to you, when you memorize a verse somewhere, it'd probably be great to mark it in your Bible some way, some kind of special marking in your Bible on that verse. It'd also be good somewhere to keep a sheet of paper, the verses that you memorized. Because someday you may lose your pack and then you think, oh no. What I do? Well, you got it. You got a sheet of paper. And you're not usually going to lose your Bible, your verse pack, and a sheet of paper all at the same time. See? And so you want to keep a record of those that you memorize. Now, another thing, I have a printout of these on, you know, that we put on a computer and printed just on sheets, like starts with Genesis 1:1, 2:18, so forth. And so I can also review from that sheet of paper. And especially if I travel, rather than carry my verse box, a lot of time I'll carry that. Now, usually if I'm going to be gone for 3 days, I'll pick out the verses for that day and stick it in a little check box and put it down in my briefcase or something so I can review them. Now, do you have any questions? And what I'd say to you, these are 75 cents, a little plastic. I think the more durable ones are $4 or something like that. But I would suggest that you get you a verse pack. And girls, learn to keep this with you. Keep it in your purse, your backpack, some way. Guys, always keep it in your pocket. If you will form the habit of always having your verse pack with you, then you can review time that other people waste. Okay? You're walking from your car to the dorm or your car to class. Well, why don't you doubly use your time? And one of the things I've tried to do is sometime during the day to get through my stack of cards. If I don't do it, like night before last, I hadn't reviewed them. Well, it was already after midnight before I got to bed. And I think, oh no. Well, another 10 minutes is not going to wreck my health. And so I'll just stay up and review them. And if you don't get through them during the day, then don't go to bed until you do. Now, is that legalism? No. Legalism is trying to earn favor with God. There's a world of difference between legalism and discipline. Legalism is trying to earn favor with God. You don't have to earn favor with God. You already have favor with God. That's what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. See? So already God loves you. You don't have to earn favor with Him. You know, it's amazing to me that any time you begin to talk about discipline in a Christian life, people think legalism. We don't do that in any other area. You know, like at OU, they take their football seriously. We hadn't had too good a year. But you know, the quarterback doesn't ever come to and just say, well, I think I'll miss practice today because I just don't feel like going. I mean, our coach wouldn't put up with that. And you wouldn't do it in any area of life. Your boss is saying, well, boss, why didn't you come in Friday? Well, I decided I didn't want to. Thought I'd go play golf. Well, you go find another job. But when it comes to the Christian life, any discipline, oh, you're getting legalistic. No, there's a world of difference between legalism and discipline. I'm not reviewing my verses because God's going to zap me if I don't. See? I'm doing that because I want to be as equipped as I can possibly be to honor Him. All right? Any other questions? Now, I want to pass out another sheet. You can take just a moment to read over the front, and especially it's read over the back. And I want you to take time to read it through. Let's make sure. Read the side that says Scripture Memory at the top. Take time to read that. It's a little bit of some of what I've said, and then flip over on the back once you've read it. Okay, now on the back side, let me have everybody's attention. You see the idea here? You're going to have glorify the Lord. That's a verse you have. Like starting tomorrow, and you can go ahead and work on it today, it's legal. Then a week later would be January the 11th. The next verse from your little memory course is what? It's on love. Okay. Now notice here, you're going to memorize three verses. That's where man comes and what's a great commandment in law? And that's where Jesus said, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbors yourself. So sometimes you'll memorize two or three verses together. At this one, we're going to pick up about three verses as one, okay? And then the next day, the next time, another week later on January, would be January the 18th and March 18th. Now, right below that, continue writing your cards through the course. Then you would put on the next card would be rejoice, Philippians 4:4, January the 25th, March 25th. And you go right on down. You see that? You understand how to do your cards? Okay? Any question about that? So, and you got cards, and there's cards in the bookstore. I think you can get 100 for $1 and a quarter or something like that. Or if you don't have them, You can make your own if you had to, but usually you can go to a little print shop. I've had printers tell me, man, we throw little scraps of paper like that away all the time, and they can cut those and make them for you, but you can always get them from the BSU and University of Oklahoma, if nowhere else, okay? Now, now read on. See, you flip the card. Now continue writing up the verses through the course. Now, flip the card over, you copy the verses on the other side. We went through that. Now, I want you to notice, midway over here, on March the 4th, you will have finished memorizing the first verse. You can then review it once a month by making tabs from a 3x5 card. Now, what you do is I just get a 3x5 card, and I just lay this down on that 3x5 card, and I drive around, but I make me a little tab. You see this folder? And you know these folders where they have one, then you get the middle tab, the right tab. I do the same thing in making little cards. I'd make Monday on one. And see, it's simple to do because I can just take this card, draw around it on a 3x5, and then make me a little deal like that, a little tab. Right, Monday, I can have the next verse, I can have a little tab like this. You understand? I mean, I don't want to bore you, but sometimes people want to know how you do it. Well, a little music doesn't hurt.
Well, one of the most graphic illustrations that's been used for a long time is what people refer to as the bridge. Very simple. You draw this line like this.
That's great. Okay, you got that? Now, look down here. Once you have about 28 verses, you memorize, put four behind each day of the week. In other words, Monday you'd have four. Now, see, you still got your eight new ones. But then you got four on Monday. So on Monday you review your eight new ones and your four old ones. On Tuesday, eight new ones and four old ones. You understand that? You put four behind Monday, four behind Tuesday because you got 28 old verses. Man, I mean, we got it working today, don't we? Then once you get more verses, you see how you do the tab? 1, 15, 2, 16, 3, 13. In other words, the first day of the month, you review these. Second, and then when you get after the first 2 weeks, then you start on the 16th, go through them again. So you're going to review them every 2 weeks. Eventually, you can do them 1 through 30. Make little tabs like that. And if, see, even this guy that had 900 verses only had 30 a day to review. So you got a system that can work for you for life. Okay, any question at all about scripture memory? Now, let me ask you that. You've heard about it. You have no questions, right? You think it'd be worthwhile to spend a few minutes a day doing that? What I want you to do is take just a few moments, and I want you to pray. And this is between you and God. And why don't you ask God to really help you? And another thing I would highly suggest is those of you that are here from the same school, or if you're not, find a buddy to help you. Now, like, y'all go to the same church, you two? Okay, what if every Sunday when you saw her, you came up to her and said, you got to quote your verse this week. And if you don't do it, I'm going to slap you upside down. I mean, in other words, don't give her any slack. She's got to quote it, and she's got to quote it word perfectly, okay? Accountability can really help you. Now, a friend of mine, John Crawford, old fellow in the Navigators, tremendous man of God, he says, anytime I meet to disciple a guy, one of the things I do, I always hand him my verse pack and say, check me on my verses. He said, that guy just thinks he's checking me on my verses. He said, he doesn't realize it gives me an opportunity to preach my verses to him. And see, I could give you my verse pack and begin to let you check me on my verses, and then I might stop at one and say, let me tell you why I memorized this. Or let me tell you how God used this in my life. Like I'm reviewing, and I'm meeting with David, and I hand him my verse pack, and let's suppose that we're reviewing, happen to be in Psalms, and I come to Psalm 50:15. I said, David, let me tell you about an experience with that. And I tell him the story I told you about the professor in Louisiana in Wichita Falls. See, and you use those verses as you share them with each other. Now, read the context before and after. Now, some of the objections people have to scripture memory, they say, oh, you take it out of context. Well, you don't have to take it out of context. You can learn the context by that learning the verse. If I were to ask you, you ever heard the story of David and Goliath? You ever heard that story? Where is it? You've heard it ever since, if you've been in church, ever since you're a little bitty kid, right? Where is it? Well, see, I know where it is because one day I memorized one verse. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." The whole 17th chapter of 1 Samuel is a story of David and Goliath. And see, I told you a while ago from Genesis 39 through Genesis chapter 50, and I didn't finish it, how his brothers came and he played with them. They didn't know who he was. And later, after his dad came into the land, and his brothers said, "You know, the only reason he didn't really get back at us for us selling him into slavery is because dad was around. But now that dad's died, he's going to really get us." So they came to Joseph and they lied to him. They said, "You know, one of the last things dad..." Now this is a loose translation, you understand. "One of the last things dad said before he died is, be nice to your brothers." And then Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." Now, I have told you what happened from Genesis chapter 39 through Genesis chapter 50. I don't need to memorize Genesis chapter 39 through 50. It'd take me forever. But because of key verses, and I know the context before and after. Now, I didn't memorize them in order to do that. I may have memorized one in Genesis, and then the next one may be in Proverbs, the next one may be in Romans. But one day as I'm reviewing them, it just dawns on me, I know what happened from Genesis 39 through Genesis chapter 50 because of Genesis 39, 9 through 12, 39, 23, 41, 38, 41, 51, and 52, 48, 7, and Genesis 50, 19, and 20. Now, some people say, well, you take them out of context. You don't have to. It's kind of like when you pick up your suitcase. If I pick up my suitcase, I don't pick up my arm, boy. I just reach down and get a hold of the handle. I can lift up that whole suitcase by the handle. That's what a verse does. You can pull out the whole context sometime by a little handle of a verse. Okay? Now, what are some of the other objections? Some people say, well, I don't have a good memory. I promise you, I don't have a good memory either. Your problem is not your memory. You remember when you were born? You remember your birthday? I mean, you don't remember when you're born, but you do remember your birthday. You know your phone number? You know where you live? You know your mama's name? Your daddy's name? Well, then you got a memory. Your problem is not bad memory, it's bad memory habits. So we're going to take the memory God gave us and we're going to work on it. And the most precious thing in the world that you can be learning is the Word of God. And so I'm going to memorize God's Word. See? Okay? Now, so don't let people come at you with these excuses. Well, I don't have a good memory. Well, you take it out of context. You know, all kinds of things. You don't have to take it out of context. And you develop the memory God gave you. Okay? Do you have any question at all? Now, I want you to take a few minutes and pray. You decide, what are you going to do? You remember what he said this morning? Partial disobedience is total disobedience. You decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to do this? And I'm not saying you got to go 520. You may get somewhere along. You may have to start over, stop, start over. I would encourage you to try to build that habit. And I know I just had the habit in college. I didn't go to bed till I'd memorized my verse. One night, I'd been up early that morning, had meals prepared all day, went to bed that night, woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning, I thought, oh, didn't memorize my verse. I'm going to get up and do it. And that night I memorized, I'm going to read the Bible, I'll find a verse I want to memorize. And I came across 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. and largeness of heart, even as the sand is on the seashore. And I prayed that night, God would give me wisdom. God, you gave Solomon wisdom. You still got some wisdom left over. Give me some, see. So decide what you're going to do about what you've heard. Okay, take a few minutes and pray.